This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Agnostics, long-haired weirdos, short-haired weirdos, vandals, hooligans.
The government, hug the government, love the government, hug the government, love the government.
Welcome to The Politics Guys, a place for bipartisan, rational, and civil debate on American politics and policy. I'm Michael Baranowski, professor of political science at Northern Kentucky University. I'm joined today by my conservative counterpart, Cleveland area attorney and defender of freedom, Jay Carson.
Good morning, Mike.
Hey, Jay, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing pretty. I was awakened by, on this free expression show. There's a park about a block or so away from my home, and there was some sort of protest going on this morning. So I'm not. I don't think they're protesting me specifically, but
they could.
You know,
and maybe
they could.
Maybe they should.
They may well hit my place on the way back, but we'll see. I thought that was apropos of our topic this morning.
Some real life free expression. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, that is in fact going to be our topic in this, our second listener chosen listener participation show. And we have some supporters here with us today. Thanks guys so much for joining us. And just like last time, as we talk about our topic of free expression, if you have any comments, thoughts, just, you know, include them. We'll try to work them in.
And for yourself.
Yeah. again, for folks who are interested in this, maybe participating in the future one, this is something that's open to all of our supporters, the $10 or month or higher level. And if that's something you want to be, well, just go to the patreon.com/politicsguys. And, you know, we always put all that stuff in the show notes and so forth. And yes, we are going to try to do our next one or one of the future ones a little bit later on, because we're recording this at 9 a.m. Eastern on a Saturday morning. And that's, Jay, as you pointed out, that's actually probably early for a lot of people, even if they're not in the Eastern time zone. So, we're hoping to do an afternoon one, or just kind of mix up the times a little bit for those for listeners who or supporters who want to take advantage of this and get in on it, but just it don't want to get up that early. And I totally get that. So anyway, here we go. Free expression. Well, I'm a fan. Jay, I assume you're a fan too, right?
Yeah, very much so, actually. And I would say that is, it may be sort of a weird way, sort of an animating principle for why I do this stuff in the first place. There was a great man, Mike. This was a statement that I have, sort of a pole star, right, of my professional and intellectual existence, who once said that I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal opposition to any form of tyranny over the mind of man. You can probably guess who that is, Mike.
That's a good one. Yeah, absolutely.
And, for those of you who don't have Mike's vast historical knowledge, that of course was Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah.
So, this has been a big deal for me. Really since my college days.
Yeah, I can attest to that. You have always been a staunch, fervent supporter of free expression. So, but you know, and we talk about it all the time on the show, but I don't know that we've ever really focused on it kind of exclusively as the overall topic of a segment. And so when, you know, probably a few months ago at this point, you mentioned that Knight Foundation survey and listeners talked about free expression as being a possible topic. It just seemed to be sort of a natural thing. And the survey is actually really interesting. The Knight Foundation it's from the Knight Foundation. It's a free expression in America post 2020. And what they did is they contracted with the polling firm Ipsos, and they surveyed over 4,000 American adults, including an additional sample of 1,000 undergraduate students to kind of get a sense of what the state of free expression in America was post 2020. And when I looked at it, there were a number of things that kind of jumped out to me, Jay. And one of them was that, for instance, 63% said that free speech was very important. But at number one, I think, well, is 63% all that high? I don't know. But they looked at 11 rights. And of those 11, free speech came in fourth place. It trailed the right to vote at 74%, equal protection under the law at 73%, and privacy at 64%. And if you look at freedom of the press, which is also obviously a part of an important part of free expression, that did a whole lot worse. Only 51% of this national representative sample found it to be very important. And that's 10th place. The only thing that was behind it was the right to bear arms. And so, I don't know, I look at that and that's not exactly the sort of results I would hope for. And I wanted to get your take on that to start off.
Yeah, no, I was alarmed. And there's a couple things going into that. Like I said, I'm always a little skeptical on these kind of polls because they're subject to these sort of, you know, for example, the freedom of the press. I can see how that would cut both ways, right? You would have plenty of conservatives who would say, I think, you know, what CNN and the liberal mainstream media does is ridiculous. And likewise, you would have plenty on the other side who would say, I can't believe, you know, Fox is allowed to say that. You know what I mean? And the result is well, in some senses, both, you know, the answer is, I mean, to me, at least, we'll let everybody say what they want to say. I see how that can result in a, you know, nobody likes you, right? It's sort of the same thing you get of, you know, Congress. Nobody likes Congress, but everybody likes their own representative. But the idea that I guess that troubled me was, again, going back in our day, something like freedom of speech, freedom of expression was something that we could really agree on to some extent. That most Republicans, Democrats would say yes, this is, and I think that still exists. But the it bothered me a little bit. In the survey was the idea of, well, we should, and you'll probably get into this in a little bit, but curtail speech, you know, to the extent it's hate speech or offensive to someone or that sort of thing, or it's misinformation. That I found to be the troubling piece of that, because it seems to be an abandonment of what I would think is a core Western civilizational principle.
I agree with you, obviously, about it being an important core Western civilizational principle. But I just think most people really don't really give a damn about core Western civilizational principles. I mean,
in some respects, nor should they.
Okay,
right? Because if it's a core, you know, it ought to be sort of the water you swim in, right?
Yes and no, because I think how most people think about it is in terms of, or a lot of people certainly saying, yeah, I think, for instance, freedom of the press and free speech is okay, but not for really icky ideas. I mean, and that's exactly where it's the most important, of course. And that's where I think it has the most resistance. And so, I've long argued that even just for a lot of basic democratic principles that people care about. At least there is a significant subset of people who care about outcomes. And it doesn't really matter how we get to those outcomes. It just matters that we get to those outcomes. And if that means we jettison these abstract principles, well, I'm okay because the end justifies the means.
You got to break a few eggs.
You know?
And I'm reminded of that sort of goes back to something that was happening about the same time that this hit was the Stanford issue where Judge Kyle Duncan was brought in to speak and was shouted down. And then you had a Stanford administrator get up and give this pre-prepared speech about sort of, well, is the juice worth the squeeze, in her words, meaning that look, is allowing free speech worth it, free expression worth it, if it's going to get all these people upset? And to me, that was truly chilling. And I think a lot to other people, and I think the dean of Stanford Law School, to her credit, I think handled that well, you know, after the fact. But that to me is just the idea that you're getting this, well, is the juice worth the squeeze idea out there is troublesome. Because to me, again, and I think to from a Western civilizational standpoint, you would say that it's the squeeze that's important, right? That's sort of gets us where we are, makes us what we are.
But it's I mean, I disagree in part in that I think it's a ridiculous, maybe not a ridiculous way to phrase it. It is trying too hard to be hip, maybe, I don't know, but it seems to me that it's a reasonable question in that free speech, free expression is an incredibly important value, but it's not the only value. You know, civil order is a, I would argue, and a lot of people would argue, is an even more important value. And so you have to ask those questions about, and the court, I think, you know, over its history has asked those questions, saying to what extent do we allow free speech rights to infringe on civil order? And that's, so I guess I know that people on the right were all freaked out that, oh my God, this administrator asked this awful question, but I don't think it's really an awful question. I think it's an important question to be asked.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Well, no, I think it's an awful question when the squeeze, right? The concern is that people will get their feelings hurt. There's plenty of law out there, you know, going back, you know, to the Oliver Wendell Holmes, you know, you can't shout fire in a crowd of theater type thing, where it says, no, you can't have speech that endangers the public welfare, that presents a clear and present danger.
How about this? For instance,
so I'm saying, well, you know, again, something, fighting words, for example, are not protected. But also, like I said, you can't have what's also called the heckler's veto, where you someone says, look, you say something I don't like, and I'm going to riot. So.
Well, I think, and we see this on both the left and the right, in the survey, for instance, 65% of Republicans, so over, you know, nearly two-thirds, right, said that kneeling or turning away during the national anthem isn't a legitimate form of free expression. And then on the other hand, 61% of Democrats said that taking part in protests against certifying the 2020 election isn't legitimate free expression. And to me, that I think is a fairly chilling thing. Now, I can understand, I think, a little bit more, given when this was, the survey happened, and it was not terribly long after January 6th, right? So I think people can hear the January 6th question and think, well, taking part in protests, what does that mean exactly? And kind of conflate that with, you know, invading the Capitol and doing that sort of thing. But when nearly two-thirds of Republicans say that, no, it's not legitimate free expression to take a knee during the national anthem, wow, that is, I mean, you know, people joke with, or sometimes people don't joke with the term fascism, but that sure sounds like a fascist sort of belief.
Well, I guess, I draw a distinction there between that. And again, maybe this is where it's the wording is imperfect or the question's imperfect. I think someone, you know, saying, so for example, if someone said, well, could the federal government or state government pass a law that requires you to stand for the national anthem? Of course not. That's ridiculous and would be overturned. I mean, we have similar cases involving, for example, saluting the flag and pledges of allegiance and all that sort of thing. So no, it's a perfectly valid in terms of, is it First Amendment protected? Yes. Can the government do anything about it? No.
I don't think people make those distinctions. I mean, you make those distinctions.
But
that's my point is that, you know, these things are not just legal principles. These are things that if they are to have meaning over time and to be solid and principles over the course of history, that they need to have the support of the public, because ultimately, you know, I mean, we're a republic of, you know, the people rule in the end. And if the people over an extended period of time lose faith with those fundamental principles, then those principles lose their meaning over time. And so, sure, I agree with you that the court would never say that it is okay for the state to pass a law saying you must stand during the national anthem or to criminalize, you know, kneeling. But the fact that nearly two-thirds of Republicans seem to think, at least in this one poll, that it is not legitimate free expression to do that. That to me is a bit troubling.
No, I think that's troubling. Now, again, what do they mean by legitimate free expression? I would argue if you've got a contract with your employer that pays you millions and millions of dollars, and part of that contract requires you to stand for the national anthem, well. Then you've got a contract question, and it's not a government free expression question. But you know, I think someone could certainly say, listen, no, you don't have a right to protest in this manner, in this place, at this time, based on what you've agreed, you know, to do. So I think that's where I would draw a distinction. I don't know if the people who are entering the polls are drawing that distinction.
I tend to think,
but that's how I would see the two things differently. One, you know, look, protesting on your own time; the other, essentially, protesting on work time.
But again, if the protest amounts to, I see what you're saying. But if the protest essentially amounts to what your body position is during the time when the entire team is on the field, well, that's not taking your employer's time. As far as I know, there aren't any. There, at least there haven't.
Whatever. You're breaching your contract with. Mike, and let me be clear. At that point, that's an issue between the employee and the employer. I don't think the government has anything to do with it. And I would very much say from a government standpoint, if someone wants to kneel during the national anthem, that's they're welcome to do so. And likewise, I think people, you know, in the stands and the fans can make up their mind and say, look, we think this is, perhaps constitutionally permissible. But it's, you know, something we don't agree with, this, you know, that kind of thing.
But, you know,
which is all well and good.
But I think as Alex points out here in the comments, that, you know, people aren't making those sort of distinctions that you and I do. And I think in part that's the nature sort of how the polling works. It's not these kind of detailed focus groupy sort of things. When people, when somebody sees, you know, somebody, an athlete kneeling during the national anthem, they think, this is constitutionally protected, but I do not believe it is the right thing to do. I mean, people just like, screw that dude, you should fire him. That's kind of the response, right? I mean, I think.
Well, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I can't put myself in someone else's place, but that's the way I tend to view things. And that could just be because this is the way I've been for most of my life. And this is the educational route that I've taken and the training that I've taken. And I've worked in this kind of field where you talk about this kind of thing and think about this thing a lot. And maybe your average person hasn't, but I tend to give the average person more credit than you do, Mike.
That you could
say that. Listen, I disagree with what they're doing and where they're doing it and all that. I don't think there's an issue that this is protected or unprotected speech, you know, in terms of the government, but. Geez, Colin, you're making an ass of yourself. You know what I mean?
I think you're much more of an out of touch elite than I am. And I think that's the problem. When you say
I'm certainly elite. I don't know I'm out of touch.
Well, I feel like you are. I mean, I think, you know, when I, and you know, I've long argued this, right? It's kind of part of my argument about why I think, even though I there are some people I respect a lot who are libertarians. I think libertarianism doesn't work because libertarians assume everyone has their kind of level of rationality and civic mindedness and all this other kinds of stuff. And it does not seem to me to be the case. And so that's, you know, but again, that's maybe another point.
Ladies
but,
and gentlemen, I recall a very night in 1990 when Mike accused me of being a cultural elitist.
Oh, and you're definitely a cultural elitist. Yeah. I mean, there's no question. You can identify the differences between, say, Shostakovich and Brahms almost like that, you know. So that's just
absolutely.
Exactly.
You know. You couldn't, but.
Exactly. Well, let's, you know, the other thing I wanted to talk about or some in this poll and kind of moving on into that is there were some notable differences between Democrats and Republicans on, well, a number of free expression issues. Let me give an example. 89% of Democrats in this survey said that preventing the spread of false information was very important. And that's compared to only 63% of Republicans. Another big difference, 85% of Democrats said it's very important to protect the ability of different groups to be heard compared to 63% of Republicans. And I wanted to get your take, Jay, on what you thought about those differences. They're pretty significant differences in why you think
and that exists. That was like actually the biggest issue for me that I found chilling was this idea that the government ought to have some role in controlling quote unquote misinformation. And you know, to me, Mike, for that's a lot of reasons. And it's not that I'm a fan of misinformation. It's just that I'm not a fan of the government or the government controlling it. And that if the government has that power, they will certainly abuse it. And, you know, today's misinformation is often tomorrow's truth, as we've discovered.
Let me stop you right there.
And secondly, I just want to finish. And the other thing I think, again, in my world, as I view things, there's a ready cure for misinformation, and that's correct information, more information.
We hope you enjoyed this preview of our supporters exclusive midweek show. If you'd like to hear the rest of the episode, we hope you'll consider becoming a supporter. Supporters get ad-free access to all of our shows, membership in our Politics Guys Discord group, where you can join in on the conversation, and other benefits at different levels of support. To become a supporter, go to patreon.com/politicsguys. You can also support us through Venmo, we're at politicsguys, or through PayPal. You'll find all of our support links in the show notes, as well as at politicsguys.com/support. And if you'd like to get the midweek show, but you're not in a position to become a financial supporter, that's not a problem. Just send me an email at mike@politicsguys.com, and I'll be happy to get that set up for you.